Hedar, Randat.
Adam, bonsoir, comment allez-vous? Alors, je vous offre félicitations et réjouissances sur la fête nationale belge, de nationale feestdag van België, ou de Belgische nationale feiertag. So, it's today, the 21st of July. There are several public holidays in Belgium, but this one is there to commemorate the investiture of Leopold I as King of the Belgians. So Belgium had briefly been independent in the 1790s, been the Austrian Netherlands for a long time before that. And when they revolted against the Nederlanders in 1830, okay, they recognized independent. The great powers decided that Belgium would be independent. And these people had to, what are we going to call ourselves? Well, the Romans called this area the tribe the Belgii, so we'll go with that name. So that's more or less when Belgian national identity started, because it was Flanders, is Wallonia, Flanders, which is Dutch-speaking, Flemish and Dutch, like, you know, 95% the same. And Wallonia, which is French-speaking, obviously they got Wallon, which is their dialect of French. Remember in France, even this time, any minority people could speak French, even as a second language. They spoke their local patois, you know, Occitan, Niçois, Dauphiné, whatever, Breton, Norman French, Alsatian, so forth. You know, Alsatian's dialect, German, Provençal, and so forth. Corsou, Basque, Catalan, and whatever. All right, so anyway, the great powers intervened to prevent another war. So the Netherlands had lost its southern provinces, like Zuid-Brabant. Remember, Noord-Brabant is still part of the Netherlands. And the thing is, the United Kingdom didn't want France coming and grabbing it. So it's, and remember, the Netherlands, also a fairly major maritime power, it suited the United Kingdom of a buffer state between the Netherlands and France. So it was agreed that Treaty of London, the Belgium be permanently independent and neutral, as in Belgium couldn't form an alliance with another country. No country could send troops in there. That was the cause of the First World War, of course. Anyway, so to be a respectable nation, Belgium needed a monarch, like almost every other country in Europe at the time. And so they cast around. They found Leopold von Saxe-Coburg-Gotha from a fairly minor German ducal family. And then so he was well known in the UK, acceptable to the British. So Leopold arrived in Brussels in July that year, and then he swore to uphold the constitution. So he became the monarch, didn't have a coronation as such. So previously, the National Day had been marked on the 27th of September, and that's when the Dutch army was driven out of Brussels during that uprising. And so then it was shifted, partly to be not so obviously anti-Dutch. And that's why they chose the French as their official language, to try and emphasize that they weren't Dutch. Now, the Wallons are very much a minority, maybe 30% of the population at the time. But obviously, the Belgian, previously the Dutch upper class, they could speak French. Just educated people in Europe that time could speak French. Whether it's in Ireland or Russia or Sweden or Sicily, it didn't matter. But obviously, highly educated was a small minority. It was like, you know, 10% of the population maximum. Okay, all right. So that's it. So Belgians around the world mark it on this day. And then at the Cathedral of St. Michael and St. Gudula in Brussels, the Koning Flipper, Philip, is there, and the Crown Princess Elisabeth will be there, and the Belgian Army, the Belgian Navy, the Belgian Air Force, and the police were reviewed by His Majesty the King, and there will be a parade there and in front of the Royal Palace. I saw a deeply unimpressive cavalry parade when I was there. I've not been there on their national day and so on. So there are troops from allied nations, NATO countries, other European countries. Remember, you know, the 27 European Union countries, only about 23 of them are in NATO. There are about 32 NATO countries, not all of which are in the European Union. Okay, so anyway, people have parties outside. It happens to be obviously the best, some of the best weather of the year. Some charities, some other public organizations, they mark it as well. Remember, it's a bilingual country, really trilingual, because it's German, but the German speaking minority is about 5% of the population. Okay, and so most places have got two names in Flams and Francais, like Polar de Plain or Place Polar, and so forth. Obviously, a fly pass with the Belgian tricolor over above, which is often mistaken for the German flag, just a different orientation. Okay, so people often attending mass. as it was an overwhelmingly Catholic country, fairly secular these days. Okay, and that's it. So that they that it was this day in 2013 that King Philip took over from Albert II, the Philanderer. So what can I say? Belgium, very wealthy, highly successful, highly civilized country with excellent public transport, very humane, good things. That's all impressive. I mean, I'm not a Europhile. It's very popular amongst Belgium, and it's the capital of the European Union, because when the European Economic Community, the precursor of the EU, was established in 1957, the question arose where they're going to put the capital for the founding six. And there was the Benelux was already there, like an embryonic European Economic Community, as in the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg, France, West Germany, and Italy joined. Remember, Germany's divided 1945 to 1990. So the Federal Republic of Germany was the western three quarters of Germany. So where were they going to put the capital of the European Economic Community? We can't put it in Rome, this is a Roman Empire. We can't put it in Paris. People say the French are trying to take over again, like Napoleon. We can't put it in Germany, so soon after the Second World War. Belgium, nobody can say that the Belgians are taking over a whole of Europe. They're too small an area and population. And that was it. Remember, the Belgian Congo still existed, and some people thought they had a considerable way to go. So the next year, 1958, Belgium decided we're going to dissolve the colony, and we'll do it in just 2 years' time, and so on. Okay, so Belgium also because everybody can speak Flemish, stroke Dutch, almost fluently, and everybody can speak French, most of them fluent as well. Some people can speak German, so it's trilingual already, and it neighbors a few of the others. All right. So Brussels, a very pleasant, livable city. You know, obviously nothing like as magnificent as Paris, not as quirky as Amsterdam, but yeah, that's it. I've been to Belgium, been to Brugge and Brussels, and anywhere else in Belgium, been to Ypres and Neufport-en-Isère, which is in the Belgian Riviera, and they're pretty good at English too, which is almost disappointing. They got the Belgians who are of Moroccan descent. Met some who are of like Chilean descent, Korean descent, obviously Congolese, and moving in from other Francophone African countries. Obviously, Democratic Republic of Congo was the Belgian Congo for a long time, and some of them shifted to the former colonial metropole and gained citizenship. So it's a multi-racial, multi-religious country, significant Muslim minority. Antwerpen has got the only city with a serious Jewish community in Belgium, center of the diamond trade, but much of the diamond trade went to Tel Aviv. After the Holocaust killed so many Belgian Jews. So yes, there's a lot to like and admire about, you know, their cuisine, their architecture, how livable it is. I do think some suburbs of Brussels are the last word in urban blandness, but that's it. So let's hear it for all things Belgian. Okay, tot ziens.